Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Monday, the 24th day of the month of Tishrei. It's good to be back with all of you. I hope that each of you had a meaningful and enjoyable chag. It's good to be back. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Forgive me for what will sound like a commercial or even self-promotion, but this couldn't be further from my true intention. If you enjoy our daily program, and we hope you do, please share it with your family, friends, neighbors, colleagues. We are extremely grateful and blessed to have so many of you joining us here from across the country and truly even around the world. And we know that every tefillah matters and makes a difference. So please forward our daily email to a friend, or you can share the link of together.ou.org, that's together.ou.org, to sign up for the daily emails. This holy tzibur, this congregation on these daily calls, we are making a difference through our Torah learning and our tefillot, our prayers. And we can increase our impact by increasing our numbers. So please share it with a friend. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Yonah Reis, Av Beis Din of the Chicago Rabbinical Council, CRC, in Chicago, Illinois, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Reis slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Reis to learn more about his vital role at the CRC. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Reis.
Thank you very much, Rav Naftali, and welcome to all of you on this call. It's a distinct privilege to be able to address you today. On this first day after Simchas Torah, following a long and most unusual holiday season for this year, we are all at a beginning point in our lives. Around us, we are surrounded by much turmoil and turbulence, by a virus that is both unpredictable and unrelenting, but in our great tradition, there is still order and stability. We are reminded that so long as we are devoted to the Torah, there is simcha, there is simcha's Torah, there is happiness, there is a sense of direction. And now we begin a new cycle of reading the entirety of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the five books of the Torah, beginning with this upcoming Shabbos when we will read Bereishis, which means in the beginning. Bereishis bara Elokim es haShemayim v'es haAretz. There are many who erroneously translate these words to mean in the beginning, comma, God created heaven and earth. But as the great commentator Rashi points out, if that was the case, the Hebrew word should not have been Bereshit, but rather Barishona. Rather, the word Bereshit means in the beginning of. In the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth, there is a story that follows. And that story is all about the meaning of creation and the purpose of creation. What is that meaning and what is that purpose? Rashi, in his masterful commentary, notes, Eina mikra hazeh omer ela darsheni. This verse cries out for further explication, for further explanation, for further elucidation. And thus he elucidates. Bishvil ha-Torah shenikreit bereishit darko, u'bishvil Yisrael shenikreu reishit tvuato. The world was created for the purpose of the Torah, which the Medrash says is the blueprint of creation, so that the words of the Torah and all of its mitzvot can be fulfilled in a world of deeds and action. And for the purpose of the Jewish people, who will be the ones fulfilling the Torah. This is not a chauvinistic statement, this is not a sense of entitlement, but one of responsibility. As Jews, we have responsibility to utilize this new beginning point of the year to rededicate ourselves to the fulfillment of the precepts of the Torah, to perform mitzvot regardless of the challenges of our circumstances. It is for this that the world was created. But the Medrash adds one additional layer, namely that the world was also created in the merit of three special mitzvot, b'schus challah, u'b'schus masrot, u'b'schus bikurim, in the merit of taking tithes, of taking a portion of our dough to give to the Kohanim, a portion of our crops to give to the entire tribe of the Levim and the poor, and of giving a portion of our crops, our first fruits, our bikurim, to bring to the holy temple to give to the Kohanim as well. Challah is called Reshit Arisot Teichem, the Masrot are called Reshit Ganacha, and the first fruits, the Bikurim, are called Reshit Bikurei Admascha. They're all Bereshit. So the commentators ask, we understand very well that the world was created for the sake of the Torah and for the sake of the Jewish people who will keep the Torah, but why single out these specific mitzvot? So the 16th century commentator, the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, explains that the message is contained in the mitzvah of the Bikurim, the first fruits. The farmer who brings them recites the story of the Jewish people, Arami Oved Avi, which emphasizes his great appreciation to Hashem, not only for the fruits, but for the totality of Jewish history, for the exodus from Egypt, and all the miracles of Hashem that has enabled him to bring these first fruits. In other words, this mitzvah of Bikurim, as well as the other mitzvot that require us to give of what we have to others, is all about hakaras hatov, having a sense of gratitude. This is the third foundation of creation, that the world was created so that we will have gratitude to Hashem and gratitude to all those who are his agents in providing us with our needs. Rav Asher Weiss explains that this is why Jews are called Yehudim, because the name Yehuda was given by Leah to her fourth son to express Hapam Odeh Es Hashem. On this occasion, I will give thanks to Hashem. The name Yehuda is all about gratitude to Hashem, and therefore we, as Jews, are called Yehudim. As we begin this new year and we struggle to find the linchpin for peace of mind during these discombobulating times, the Torah provides us with the formula of Bereshit. Let's reset our perspective and appreciate how Hashem created this world for us so that we can live according to the Torah and show appreciation to Hashem for all of the good in our lives and to all those who help us in our lives, our spouses, our parents, our children, our rabbis, our schools and shuls, our grocers and supermarkets, our healthcare providers, the overwhelming number of good and caring governmental officials and police officers and security guards who help to protect us, and all of our friends and acquaintances who contribute so much joy and comfort to our lives. And the key is the challah, the maaser, the bikurim, to keep on giving to others through the gifts that Hashem provides to us by caring about others, praying for others, and looking out for each other's welfare. This is the way that we sanctify our bereshit, our beginning, and can endow it with meaning, success, and happiness as we embark upon what we pray will be, with God's help, a safe, successful, and healthy year for all of us. I am now going to recite Tehillim Perek Chof Gimel, chapter 23, followed by chapters 121 and 130. Mizmor L'David Adonai Roi Lo Echzar Binos Deshe Yarbitzeni Ame Menuchos Yenahaleni Nafshi Yeshovev Yancheni V'magale Tzedek L'man Shemo Gam Ki Eilech B'geitz Amavis Lo Irara Ki Ata Imadi Shiftecha Umi Shantecha Heima Yenachamuni Taroch Lefonai Shulchan Neged Tzoreroi Tishanta Vashemen Roshi Kosi Rebaya Ach Tov Vachesed Yerdefuni Kol Yemei Chayoi Vishavti Bebeis Adonoi Liorech Yamim. Now we will recite chapter Kof Kof Aleph 121. Shir Lamalos Esa Einayel Herim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shemayim Ba'aretz Al yitain lamotz raglecha. Al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan. Shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha. Adonai tzilecha al yad yeminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakecha. V'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmacha mikorach. Yishmar es nafshecha. Adonai yishmar tzeitzcha uvoecha. Me'ata v'ad olam. The last chapter we will recite is chapter Kuf Lamed 130. Shir hamalos mimamakim kirasicha Adonai. Adonai shema v'koli tiyena aznecha kashuvos. Lekol tachanunoi, imabunos tishmoyoh, Adonoi mi yaamod, kimacha hasalicha, lemaan tivare, kibisi Adonoi, kibisonapshi, glidvaro hocholti, napshi ladonoi, mishomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonoi, ki im Adonoi ha-chesed ve-habei imo fedus. V'hu yivte es Yisrael mikol avonosav. I'm now going to recite the Mishaberach for the Cholim. I will pause for 15 to 20 seconds or so that people can say names of a Cholim who should all have a refuah shalema. Mishaberach Avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo V'Yirabarech V'Yirape Es HaCholim. Babor שאנחנו מספללים בעבורם, בזכרזה הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא רחמים עליהם, להחלימם ולרפוסם ולהחזיקם ולהחיוסם, וישלח להם מהרה רפואה שלמה מן השמיים. לכל עבריהם ולכל גידיהם, בסוך שער כל ישראל, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, השתה בגלו בזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. We will recite אחינו. אחינו כל בית ישראל, הנתונים בצורה ובשביה, העומדים בין בים ובין ביבשה, המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה השתא בגאולה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Reis. To get us started, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, yom yom. We are appreciative of every single day that we have, and of the Chasdei Hashem that have enabled us to endure this pandemic over the course of the past 6 months plus. And we're very appreciative of it being in a community here in Chicago, Illinois, where there really has been a sense of achdus, a sense of unity amongst the rabbinic leadership in terms of providing direction, providing guidelines so that everybody can stay safe, that we can keep everybody else safe, and at the same time engage in tefillah b'tzibur in responsible fashion. We've arranged for smaller minyanim. There are a number of outdoors minyanim that have taken place during this time. We had guidelines during Sukkot and during Simchas Torah regarding the abridging of the Hakafos and of the Hoshanos. so that we could perform the mitzvah, but at the same time, make sure that it's done with the requisite care and caution. I'll tell you that one thing that I've really come to appreciate during this time, it's a silver lining, I guess you can say, is that with the exception of, you know, one son who, Baruch Hashem, was able to go off to Eretz Yisrael to learn for the year, all of my other children really have been with us at home pretty much the entire time. And it really has given me an opportunity, together with my wife, to reconnect with our children, to establish more times of learning, of having chavrusos together with my sons, to be able to learn with my daughter as she prepares for her bat mitzvah. It's really been a time that, maybe precisely because we weren't able to perform the mitzvah of Haknasas Orachim as much as we're used to doing and look forward to being able to do again, we were able to look at the members of our own family and realize how important it is to establish that connection, to establish that kesher, you know, with them while we have, you know, the chance. And that has been, for us, a bright light during what has otherwise been a very difficult and challenging period of time.
Amazing, truly remarkable. And I think these days it's all about finding the silver lining and taking advantage of those opportunities. And that's truly special to be able to connect with your children in a deeper way. So I can't imagine a trip, especially for me when it's my duty to go to the supermarket, when I'm not taking out my phone and pulling up the CRC app to find out, and that's as an OU employee, but to find out something kosher. And then that's not the extent, obviously, of the CRC, which I think is a great segue for us. If you could please provide for our listeners and give an overview of your role within of the CRC and really how the CRC services the Chicago area and beyond.
Sure. I have been with the CRC for a little bit over 7 years, ever since we moved from the East Coast. And I was brought here to take over the role of being the Av Beit Din, the chief rabbinical judge, Rabbi Gedaliah Dov Schwartz. He should be well. It was already in semi-retirement. He should have a refuah shleima. And we have here just an absolutely amazing team of rabbis who do so many different services on behalf of the Jewish community. You know, I joke sometimes that when I was in New York, I worked for a period as the director of the Beit Din of America, which oversaw Beit Din matters, Dine Torah, arbitration disputes, and Gittin, Jewish divorce, and Gerus, Jewish conversion. And I also was involved with the Rabbinical Council of America, which provides services to membership as a membership organization to member rabbis. And, of course, we all viewed the OU, the Orthodox Union, as our major resource when it came to kashrus matters. Here in Chicago, the Chicago Rabbinical Council is kind of like, at least for our community, the Beit Din of America, the Rabbinical Council of America, and the Orthodox Union all rolled up into one. So on the one hand, we provide the kashrus services in terms of the kosher supervision for the local restaurants and kosher establishments and all kinds of kosher ingredients and companies throughout the Midwest and really throughout the world. And Rabbi Shalom Fishbane, our kashrus administrator, does a terrific, amazing job and also heads the ACO organization, which is the Association of Kashrus Organizations, which, of course, includes the OU and many, many other kashrus organizations. But in addition to our kashrus services, we also have a fully functioning Beit Din where we do the Dine Torah, the arbitrations, the mediations for communal disputes, personal disputes, professional disputes, and the like, and also Gittin and also Gerus. We are very involved in conversion matters for really the entire Midwest community. Before the coronavirus, I was traveling to Dallas and Memphis and various other locations several times of the year during the year to assist with respect to interviewing gay conversion candidates and the like. And finally, we also are a membership organization for rabbis, not only in Chicago, but throughout the Midwest. And they look to us for guidance, especially during this period of the pandemic. They have looked to us to provide guidelines and rules with respect to when they should close down the minyanim in their communities, when they should reopen, under what circumstances, what should the rules be. And we get consulted really on a very regular basis with respect to those types of questions and a plethora of other types of questions as well.
Amazing. I'm curious, are there other communities that have a similar model to Chicago, similar to the CRC, obviously in Bergen County of the RCBC, but really we're, as you just summarized beautifully, of really having all of those various different entities rolled into one major operation. Are there any parallels anywhere else?
I'm not really sure. I think that, you know, in California, obviously, you have the Rabbinical Council of California, the RCC. I know that they have a Betin. I know that they're also a kashrus organization. Whether they're a rabbinic membership organization, I don't know, but that just may be as a result of ignorance on my part. But I think that, you know, certainly while there are other organizations that do provide lots of services, we are certainly unique for the entire Midwest area.
Amazing. Truly, truly incredible. Last question for you, and we're truly appreciative of your time being with us today. What communal changes do you anticipate for the Chicago, the greater Chicago, the Midwest area, and the broader Jewish community during these times right now, and perhaps as much as we can look and dream about the future of a post-COVID-19 world, what communal changes do you anticipate that are going to stay?
Well, there's one change that my children are very concerned about, at least those who are, you know, still in day school and high school, which is that they're afraid that they're not going to get any snow days anymore. Because now that we have become proficient at organizing school days through Zoom, even when they're not able to go in physically, and that's basically how they completed the school year last year. So I think that we have now a realization that we could use the Zoom-like resources to be able to educate kids even when they have to be home, and to be able to connect with people through Shiurim and in a host of other ways. I mean, even at the Chicago Rabbinical Council, when we hear a dispute, we have an arbitration dispute, we've been convening them basically through Zoom over the past number of months, where the parties just, you know, dial in or, you know, click upon the Zoom link, and we're able to get everybody on the screen, and we're able to have all of the submissions of whatever they are providing to the Dayanim sent through email and electronic submission, and we're able to really do a lot more remotely than we realized was possible. So I think that one change is that we're going to take advantage of some of those remote learning and connecting resources in the future. There are people who are not able to go to shul because they might be frail or recovering from an illness, but to be able to have a Zoom link so that they can watch a minyan and dive in together with a minyan that's convened somewhere else. For example, I even wonder whether, you know, now that, that there are so many, unfortunately, cases where had somebody that we knew who was nifter during this period of time, where the levayos were not able to be attended by so many people, not locally and not remotely either, or at least not who were located far away, that we were able to connect people through, you know, Zoom levayos and Zoom shiva calls, So there's a possibility that, you know, to the extent that this has enabled people who live geographically very far away to be able to, you know, participate in a shiva or something like that, that this is, you know, a resource that should only be used, you know, obviously for happy occasions in the future. But we discovered that, you know, it's something that is a possibility. I think that another result that I believe will be the case from this pandemic is that we're going to refocus on priorities, on things that are really important in our lives. I think that, you know, we have recognized during this period that there were, you know, a lot of things, maybe recreational things, that we felt were so important to our day-to-day lives that we've been able to live without, and we've been able to refocus our priorities on Torah learning, on mitzvos, on the importance of tefillah b'tzibur. We were so happy, I would say that I speak for many people when I say that probably the happiest time during this entire period was when in our various communities we were able to reconvene at Tefillah B'Tzibur, where people were able to come back to Shul Davening and the Minyan again, even with social distancing, just to have a much greater appreciation for these things, to take them more seriously, to be more diligent about Tefillah B'Tzibur, about the performance of mitzvos, particularly mitzvos that can only be done in a communal fashion, that I think you'll have, you know, fewer people sleeping late, shall we say, when it comes to, you know, being able to just go to shul and appreciate the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this fashion. And one other thing I believe is that once we had this tremendous yearning for getting back to our yeshivas, for getting back to our Batei Knesios, so it's given us, at least me personally, a greater appreciation, you know, when I get up during, you know, Musaf Davening, and we pray that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us back to the Beis HaMikdash, and we say, Yivatzin Shibana Beis HaMikdash M'heva V'yameinu at the end of every single Shemona Esrei, that it means so much more to us, that we understand what that yearning is supposed to feel like, since we've had it, you know, on some level, when we were confined to our homes and we weren't even able to go out to our Mikdashe Ma'at, to our local shuls, that we recognize how much we have to yearn for the final redemption, how much we need to yearn for Mashiach, how much we need to yearn for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash.
Certainly so, and I recall, just as you were speaking, you had me thinking, I recall back in mid-March, that last Friday, that our shul down here in Boca Raton was open, and we were supposed to have shul, and an announcement went out late that morning that you know, the numbers had gone up and we were going to close. And we had an early mincha. A few of us were able to get together for that last minyan. I remember weeping because shul is the place where we go, where we need that comfort to daven, to connect, to encounter Kadosh Baruch Hu, to encounter God. And so it was something very, very unreal just to not be able to have shul and all those months of yearning. And we know there are many on our call right now who are still yearning, who have not had an opportunity to yet return to shul, and who are looking towards that day. But I, a little bit humorous for me, probably not for anyone else, but I recall that the first day we opened shul, when we were going to be going back into the building, I think, which was a little bit after Shavuot, I was so excited. I got to shul, I think, 45 minutes early. As I was tailgating, waiting in front of the door for it to open. I don't think the custodian appreciated it so much. But I couldn't wait to get back inside the building. So we look forward to that day when everyone, when all of our children and those who have any type of health risk or older, we certainly look forward to welcoming everyone back to shul. Please God, we hope it will be soon. Rabbi Reese, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture, the really important work that the CRC provides, not only Chicago, not only the Midwest, but really for the entire world. I know certainly here that we benefit from many of the resources. As they are with all Klai Yisrael of the entire world, our thoughts, our tefillos, our prayers are with you and for the entire Chicago community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Rabbono Shel Olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Words of Inspiration from Rabbi David Asher. with Knesset Israel in Richmond, Virginia. This concludes today's call with hearts full of faith. Stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.